Yes, for those of you who are just joining us tonight, we did have a baptism this morning. And it's kind of hard to follow when you have a baptism, but I'll do my best. Now, my lesson tonight is going to be on servanthood, or to be a servant. And one of the things I got thinking of, when you have too much time to think, your mind wanders. And I got to thinking, you know, when we're growing up, we have different influences. We want to be a fireman. We want to be a policeman. No, I don't think anybody ever says they want to be a preacher or a missionary. It's something that we fall into, I think. And one of the things I've got to thinking of is when I was 12 years old, around that age, I was in elementary school. I'm not sure how those ages fall. But I was motivated to preach to someone. And I told my mother that she might be getting a call from the school, because I'll probably be up on the swing set somewhere trying to avoid being beat up on or something like that. But to be a servant, you'll need to humble yourself and care for others. Now, my wife and I undertook that for a little while, and we decided to take care of LB and Doris before they got too bad off and had to go to assisted living. And there for a while, we were hopping because grandmother had her falling spells. We would get a call at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Our son, Brian, would hear granddaddy yelling out the back door, and he'd call us, "Granddaddy's out the back. Got to go shuffle." I even had to got up one morning to go to work, and I was getting my bike out, getting ready to go, and there's fire trucks out in the front yard. So I had to walk up there and say, "Shirley, I think we got a problem. Get up." But she had forgot our phone number, but 911. So the fireman was able to get in and got her sitting up and all. But Jesus was a different course. He knew where he came from. And he knew his purpose in life. I'm going to read you in in Luke, let's see here. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49, we read, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" So that gives us a little insight to Mary and Joseph, that they had their hands full. And who would have ever thought to look at the temple or a church for their kid? Because he would probably be out running around in the playgrounds and stuff like that, at a friend's house that he met. But Jesus had his life laid out for him. He had a better view of what was to come and what lied ahead was heaven. But sometimes we have problems with that because we're here in the world. We get caught up in the rat race. And it's hard to put into your servant mode when you're trying to get to a 9 o'clock meeting and it's 8:45. But humans, I said, sometimes get caught up in a rat race and forget about others. Like a person broke down on the side of the road. Do we have time to stop and check on them, see if everything's all right? In the world nowadays, everybody's afraid to help other people because of carjackings, muggings, and stuff like that. I know my wife still doesn't like to go out the back way of a Popka. She wants to make sure all the doors are locked because somebody might get her. It's just the day and age that we're in now that we have to worry about our safety. But Jesus also tells us, be anxious over nothing. He's got our back. Well, I had this a couple weeks ago. I was going to work, and I come up on what I call the Windermere turnoff. It's like West Butler Road and 535. They just had expanded it to four lanes. I come into that, and I happen to see this old Chevy pickup truck. I knew right who it was. I worked with him for 3 years in Monorail building. It was an old friend of mine, Luke. He had his truck pushed up into the median. So I pulled off to the side of the road and make sure he had a phone. Call in, he's going to be late. And he had already called his wife, and apparently she was out coming to get him. He wouldn't have been able to fit on my bike anyways. So we need to try to make time to watch out for the other people. You're probably saying, well, that was a friend that I stopped over to help. But I also took the time, maybe a little late. I was going to the singing at the Starlands. And going through a Popka, and there was a lady, had her hood up, sitting in the park, and a lot of Robinsons. Robins, however you want to pronounce it. So I zipped around, came back around, pulled in there, made sure everything was okay. She was having heating problems, and she had already called her husband. But we need to let our light shine, that we care for other people. I can't remember offhand who did that commercial, but they showed one person helping another, and a witness saw it, and he in turn helped somebody else, and another witness saw that, and he in turn helped somebody else, and it made a complete circle. We're supposed to take care of each other. help one another. And if you help one another, eventually that'll come back around and somebody will help you. I've gone out several times helping my friend with the hands of steel. He knows who he is. And I get it coming back to me. Last night we had a little get-together with the Newtons and the Hammonds. And Wayne saw a need that my yard needed to be mowed. It was getting dark, and Shirley came in and says, Wayne's trying to get the lawnmower started. Why is he trying to get the lawnmower started? So we got out there and got it started. He went out and mowed the backyard. That helped Shirley out some because I've tried to resign from all that mess with my allergies. I feel for Paul now when he talked about the thorn in his side. Ellen has one too. Us and our bad allergies. But it just shows you that what comes around goes around. And it makes people think, why did that stranger help me? Jesus came down from the glory of heaven to be born a human and endure human struggles and trials, as to say, I'm walking a mile in your shoes. Jesus started his service to his Father. He was about 30 years old when he was baptized by John the Baptist, and he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, where he fasted for 40 days. Can any of us do that? As we as Americans, we don't see that. But there are some people out there in third world nations that probably go 20 to 30 days before they get a meal. But you got to think, he's already spent 30 years on this earth as a human. Some of his, what do you want to call them, traditions or habits have already formed. Now he's gone out to the wilderness, not necessarily a desert, and had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Then he has got tempted by the devil. That'd be a rough thing to do. But he had his agenda. After the temptation of the devil, we see him coming out of the wilderness, and he gets back with his family, his mom, and he picked up a few other people, five other people, starting his ministry. And of course, he went to a wedding, and that's where the first miracle was recorded, as making five jars of water into wine. Then he starts his ministry out with a bang. He goes to the Passover and cleanses the temple, trying to get us humans set straight on how worship should be done. If we were to follow Jesus, he set some pretty high standards. Jesus went out and taught the word. He picked up where John the Baptist started, saying in Mark 1, verse 15, this time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. So he started his ministry to teach the people the way of the New Testament. And he walked everywhere, from Capernaum, which is atop the Dead Sea of Galilee, down to Jerusalem, close to the Dead Sea. That's about a 70-mile trek. And he did that several times in his journeys. And he did things that Jewish elders didn't do. the Jewish elders usually stayed around the temple and did their business there. But he went out to the people and taught the word and healed them. He even did things against the Jewish custom. In Luke 7, verse 11, we see here, "Now it happened on the day after that, he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near to the gate, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak." So why do you think they put that in there? In verse 14, "He came and touched the open coffin." Could that be highlighting the fact that he didn't touch just the wood? That he reached in there and laid his hand on the dead body? Because that was against some of the Jewish customs, not to touch the dead body, because that was unclean. And the Jewish people didn't usually do that. He had compassion on her. He felt sorry for her, so he fixed the problem. Because, like I said, in those days when I talked to her last sermon, it was up to the sons and daughters to take care of their parents. And she was already a widow, and she would have nobody to take care of her. And he did this with a woman caught in sin by the Pharisees, who brought her to Jesus to see his reaction. What would he do? And of course, the same goes for today. He told them, "He who without sin cast the first stone." Because we are human. And we read in Romans 3, verses 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's by his mercy and his grace that we'll get to see heaven." So as followers of Jesus, we need to do what he did. You know that acronym that's went around the world, I do believe? WWJD? What would John do? I mean, Jesus? Jesus went out. Like I said, he didn't hang around the temple. He taught his apostles and his disciples. For 3 years, they hung with him and learned his ways, saw his examples, before he ultimately sacrificed, laying down his life for our sins. And we see in Matthew 20, verses 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life a ransom for many." And I think that puts us in their many column. So we are to be servants like Jesus showed us in his life. One example is John 13, verses 4 and 5, they show him getting up and washing his disciples' feet at the supper table. And this, at the time I was teaching the high school class on Wednesday nights, and this came across our lesson one time. And I said, this is going to be good. I want to trip these kids out. So I showed up early Wednesday night, got a basin out of the kitchen, filled it up with warm water. Should have been cold. Filled it up with warm water, and I had it in the classroom, kind of concealed with some tiles. And I said, I want to give them this lesson on servanthood. But as things had it, I only had three of them show up, and they were girls. And I also lucked out. They all had flip-flops, so I didn't have to untie any shoes. And we were given these examples that we can read and learn from them. Jesus taught and lived his example to his disciples. Then after he rose from the dead, Jesus went and met them at Galilee at the appointed place, and he gave his disciples the Great Commission. And we'll read that in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have done, commanded you, that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. See, Jesus got our back. We just got to have the courage to go out and get them. One thing I've learned with this last spiritual growth workshop, one of the speakers had said that the United States is the fourth largest mission field. The fourth largest of all the world. We're followed behind China, Indonesia, and one other one. I don't remember all of them. So we're supposed to go out and teach and make more disciples of Jesus. So we really don't have very far to go. I heard once of a church having a sign above their door as you would exit. It would be above the door, and it read, you are now entering the mission field. Kind of makes you think. Germany was fine. Not to put Monty down. But that was the new open territory also when the walls came down from East Germany. I had to share the word of God with new people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, we also have let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We have all that we need right here in the Bible to teach others. Someone said, I think it was here, that if we go to teach someone, the best book to read would be Mark. For I think it's the shortest, and it still gets to the point. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 24 is a parable about the talents. Now, one man had five talents, one man had three talents, and one man had one. Is that correct? Or two talents? I think we're the same way. We all have our talents. Some of us are song leaders. Some of us are good readers. I'm a pretty good reader. Some of us are song leaders and preachers. But have we expanded on our talents? Or did we just bury him in the ground like the one talent man? We have about a half a dozen songs in our book that we can sing to be a servant. I want to be a servant for the Lord is one of them. Another one, the teenage class has, I had to dig it up. It's been a little while. But it's "Pierce My Ear, Lord." I want to be your servant. Pierce my ear. This was based on Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6, when a servant didn't want to be free. He wanted to stay with his master. And the master, and he would take an awl and take him to a doorpost and pierce his ear to be his servant for life. There's a country music singer out right now. Her name is Carrie Underwood. She wrote this song. It was "Jesus Take the Wheel." And she highlights, talks about this lady's life. And one verse, one of the verses I heard her say was, she was running low on faith and gasoline. And she had an accident. She lost control of her vehicle. And she just threw up her hands and said, "Jesus, take the wheel." It's up to us now. Are we running low on faith and gasoline? Do we need to let Jesus have the wheel? If you have the need to have the prayers of the church, or would like to obey the gospel, if you would, please come and sing as we sing.